A Florida man was just acquitted of lewd conduct charges. His defense, he didn't mean to touch that girl. He was sleepwalking, or sleep groping to be more accurate, and the jury agreed. It's certainly an unusual case, but it's hardly unique, not even this month. Earlier, a man in Singapore was cleared of molestation charges. He, too, was found to be sleep fondling when it happened. Incidents of sleep driving, sleep walking, sleep slapping, and sleep snuggling are more than snuggling are becoming frequent, or at least more frequently reported. To find out about the strange things we do while sleeping, here to talk with us is Dr. Anna Krieger. She's the director of the NYU Sleep Disorders Center. Hello, Dr. Krieger.
Hello, good morning.
Is that a new thing, the Sleep Disorders Center? It seems like recently we've been more obsessed with sleep than we ever have as a society.
Well, I would say that that's because most of us lack sleep.
Mm-hmm. We know nothing of this.
So I know you haven't examined the patient in the Florida case, so you can't offer a diagnosis from, 1,000 miles away. But does the situation seem plausible to you, sleepwalking and while you're sleeping to unknowingly fondle someone?
Well, it is well known that some patients with sleepwalking have very complex behaviors at night. And they have been found to be driving, to be eating, to be preparing meals. So that's a well-known complex parasomnia, we call it.
Parasomnia, which means sleeping while doing something.
Yeah, doing something while asleep.
Yeah. And it's not an isolated incident. You know, you just listed some examples more tangibly. Recently in Britain, a sleeping tourist walked out a window and he died. You know, are people capable of just about any activity that they do while awake, while sleeping?
Very possibly, because we've seen people that say they wrote checks and the checks may not necessarily make sense,
right.
But they did write and they signed.
And they signed their check, they signed
exactly.
Their name. So anything that you could do by rote, you seem to be able to do while sleeping.
Right.
Well, that's pretty amazing. How much of this activity can be blamed on drugs like Ambien or other sleep aids?
Well, some medications are capable of exacerbating. So usually if a person has a tendency to develop some type of parasomnia, a medication that induces that particular stage of sleep may exacerbate the underlying disease.
So, in other words, the medication may make it worse but not cause it.
Exactly.
I see. And so as more and more people are taking the medications, does the rate of sleepwalking rise? Is there even any way to study it?
Well, there's some studies looking at high doses of some of the medications available, and they have shown that people tend to have more of the parasomnias, more sleepwalking, more sleep talking as the dosage goes up.
Mm-hmm. Is it usually a habit, one of these parasomnias, or do some people just do it once and never do it again?
Yes. Some people don't even know that they do it because it's just so rare and you don't have a witness, so you might not even know.
Other than drugs causing this activity, is it more common in exhausted people, like morning radio hosts, for instance, than well-rested people, like directors of sleep disorder clinics?
Yes. I would say that any factors that trigger it, anxiety, sleep deprivation, any other illness, if you have a high fever, for instance. In kids, we can see that they have high fevers that induces a deeper stage of sleep and they manifest some strange behaviors during sleep.
What can we do to stop it, either as the individual or for a loved one?
Well, so very important things, I would say, is very hard to stop it, even with medication. So you need to look at the aggravating factors.
I see.
Being that sleep deprivation, anxiety, stress. And medications are not 100% effective, so you need to be safe. Safety is the key.
Dr. Krieger, I remember, I don't know if this is myth or if I saw it on a movie, but somewhere in my subconscious is this edict that you're not supposed to wake someone up if they're sleepwalking, that is dangerous or something. You should guide them safely back to their bed. What's the basis? Is that a myth?
I think I saw that movie too. You're right. Until once you mentioned it, I said, yeah.
But why is that so bad? Why can't you just wake them up?
Well, the major reason is because they are very confused. So if you wake them up, they may even act out aggressively because they don't know what's going on. In their minds, they are asleep. In whatever, they don't know you are there. They don't know where they are. So that's the reason why you should try to safely guide them back to bed and continue their sleep.
Another effective strategy is convince them to make the check out to you. So that could work. What's actually going on, as best you can describe it? What's going on inside the brain of a sleepwalker? Are they just dreaming?
Well, no, it's actually not a dream stage. Hmm. It's a different stage of sleep that some of the processes that are underlying the brain that are going on during sleep somehow manifest themselves in actions, in behaviors, and in words. And we don't really know exactly what triggers that and why some people are more susceptible to having it. We know that it has a genetic trait. Some families tend to have a lot more. If you have a relative that has sleepwalking, you probably have a higher tendency of having it.
And I have read that. Well, you talked about anxiety, and I said the example of the British tourist who walked out a window. I know that some hotels are training their staffs how to deal with sleepwalking, to keep towels on hand to cover naked sleepwalkers. But let's talk about the link between travel, which can be a source of anxiety, and sleepwalking. It tends to go up when you travel. There's some evidence for that?
Well, traveling sometimes, depending if it's a pleasure or business
right.
or jet lag involved.
But even when
travel.
It's for pleasure, there's often a lot of business, and you got to stay on your schedule. And there's a lot
right.
of stress, yeah.
It is a different environment. So the change yeah. in environment per se is a stressful situation. You sleep in a bed that faces a wall or doesn't face a wall. It has a different position. So you do feel that there's some difference in that it will be triggering some anxiety.
Dr. Krieger, we started out talking about all the cases that are linked to sleepwalking. How in the world do you go about proving this? If someone can just claim once, hey, I was sleepwalking, after the fact in a trial setting, there's no way to prove that.
It's very difficult because you don't really know what happened in that particular incident. So,
are there any tests you can do later?
Yeah,
to figure out if someone is prone to that?
Yes, we can test. Usually some people may be tested even beforehand. They may carry a diagnosis, then something may happen, and then you retest and you find this out. But on the particular incident, there's no way of knowing because you're not monitoring the person during that incident. But one thing that we know is that there is a major change in behavior. This is a person that has this, you know, one steady, normal life and suddenly does something completely off. And that really would kind of make sense.
And so the behaviors that one engages in while sleepwalking, you feel aren't really any reflection on the character of the person at all?
No, that has not been found.
Oh, that's interesting. So does it then trigger, I mean, I don't know if you believe in, you know, the Freudian parts of the brain, but are the actions we undertake sleepwalking more related to the id or more, you know, more impulse type actions as opposed to something methodical?
Yes. Yes. Oh. Some people, though, can be very methodical and they can go and prepare a whole meal, or prepare a sandwich, while others can go out and eat their plants.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to predict who is going to behave.
What's the most bizarre thing that you've ever heard of someone doing?
I think it was the eating her plant. Like one person that, you know, woke up and, you know, she had this very neat orchid in the house and she had, you know, some greenish stuff in her mouth. And she woke up so disgusted, feeling like, oh, my goodness, I've been eating my plant.
When people come to the sleep disorder clinic and they say, my problem is sleepwalking, for you to cure them, you have to, what, cure their overall sleeping picture? You can't just target the sleepwalking. You just have to make them better sleepers in general?
Yes, because there are many factors that may be triggering sleepwalking and any other strange behaviors at night, and that would be the first thing, to rule out any underlying sleep fragmentation. If you have sleep apnea, for instance, mm-hmm. your brain is going to wake up multiple times at night, and if it wakes out of one of those deep stages of sleep, you may manifest that with a strange behavior.
Are there any statistics on it? Do we know what percentage of people sleepwalk?
Parasomnia.
It's sleep anything. That means.
I would say sleepwalking is about maybe 1-2% of the population, but it's, again, very hard for you to measure because we don't really go out there and measure everybody.
And do you think that sleepwalking instances have risen, or is it just media reporting about sleepwalking? Is it just that we're more cognizant of the behavior?
I think we become more cognizant.
So it's always been going on. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think now that we have medications that may be inducing it a little bit more, then
it
has becoming a big issue because then people can say, you know, this has never happened at this level except when I take a medication.
And what about the rates of sleepwalking in children? Has that been going up?
I don't think so.
But there are children who sleepwalk.
Yes. Oh,
or,
yes.
Or
I did when I was
anything.
Young.
You slept
yes,
well.
I did.
When
I don't know. I was like 10 years old. It's very freaky when you wake up and you're not where you went to sleep.
It's exactly. scary.
It's very scary.
Dr. Anna Krieger, director of the NYU Sleep Disorder Center. Thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure.
I assume you were awake during this interview, but there's no way to know, is there?
Never
we'll find
know.
Out.
We'll take it on faith. Thank you, Dr. Krieger.
My pleasure.